Here we go. It's hour two of Overdrive up on TSN 4 on TSN 1050, the iHeart Radio Canada app. Some familiar faces. Al's brother, of course, riding shotgun here on Overdrive. His first voyage as a co-host on the program that made him famous, of course.
Of course, right here sitting in this exact spot. Yeah. Were me and Mike Johnson.
The earbud, legendary moment,
earbud gate happened, the handshake and all, and here we are, a year and a half, and 2 years, three, I don't even know how long that was, close to 3 years later, and somehow I got roped into hosting this thing.
You did the sign-off, too, the 4 p.m. We'll chat then?
Yeah.
Were you in?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the best timed things I've heard on radio.
Iconic moment. That, of course, Frankie Corrado. I am Aaron Karolnik, and we got a lot of good stuff coming your way for the next 2 hours. The O-Dog, a rare summer appearance. He's going to join us in a couple of minutes live from Edmonton. It's an off day for the TSN crew. They are celebrating Bob McKenzie's birthday, so sure, some Bobby margaritas would have to have been consumed.
Absolutely. On the golf course.
It
looked like it was a nice day out there. I'm wondering, like, I want to know O's opinion on the Al's brother roommate situation.
Yeah.
I keep going back to this thing, and I've been formulating how we're going to do this, and I think I have it now.
Okay. Well,
so
fill us in.
You do a half-hour segment. Two lucky people, whoever gets through on the phone lines, they call in, and you do Al's brother's trivia. And Al's brother picks the questions. They could be Leafs, they could be Al's brother, like they could be just related to anything. Team Al Dog, right? Like,
well,
who's been following the show? Who is a loyal supporter of Al's brother and his interests? And the winner
gets to
move in with Al's brother for a week. But you gotta throw Al's brother a bone.
So you do it like
something.
Every week, like a
new person
new
every
situation.
Week.
Well, if
yeah.
you missed it in hour one, Al's brother revealed he's in the mix for a couple of condos, contemplating some decisions. Of course, the hot tub a prerequisite.
Yes.
Would not consider anything else, and the potential of a roommate. I mean, downtown Toronto, it's expensive to live there for anyone, even as someone. Who is as successful with gambling as you are, Al's brother? You think you'd be able to pay?
That's why I need a roommate.
That's right. It's anticipated losses in the gambling sphere.
I know I'm going to need that extra
cash. What would you do?
Yeah.
What would you do if you're Al's brother's roommate and you like go to the bathroom at 2 a.m. and Al's brother's just sitting on the couch, shirt on, watching games, just like
Aussie basketball,
eating his sorrows away because he's lost at gambling so badly.
Well, imagine the fury during some of those NFL Sundays from Al's brother, where another loss for Team Al Dog, and what was it, 37% last year? NFL season right around the corner.
Yep.
Think that might come up in confirm or deny, or maybe it's Al's brother's filter. Not really sure which one.
Yeah, but. Al's brother, what is your sleep schedule like these days? Because you were saying, you said something earlier
brutal.
Today. You said, I don't like getting up at 9 o'clock. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
This guy's in university.
9 o'clock is lunchtime for a lot of people. Like, what is happening
not for
there?
This guy. Not for this guy. Not, I mean, when I'm working during the season, sure. The problem is I've been, you know, doing some morning show. I was on the afternoon show a little bit. So my sleep schedule has been banged around a little bit. And, you know, which means if I do the morning show, like, I typically don't actually get to bed till like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Like, that's my life.
Is it because, like, the anxiety, waking up early, knowing you need to set an alarm?
Yeah. And then, like, I wake up. You ever have this thing where you fall asleep and you wake up in a panic? You're like, oh my God, did I miss it?
Every single night for the last 5 years.
It's been 10 minutes. Like, oh, it's only 3:35. All right, sweet. And then you try and fall back asleep. But because of that, then after I do the morning show, it's 4 hours on like 2 hours of sleep. You do the 4 hour show. I'm like, I got to take a little nap. And the nap extends a little longer than I anticipate. And then I end up having to, because I had slept so long through the day, I was in that same process. I was in a weird
loop.
Do you need
some counseling as far as like your sleep schedule? Maybe we'll get you some magnesium at a certain time of the day.
Magnesium.
Like, we can, I've learned
I'm
a few things over
help.
The years. Like, I can lend a hand here. We can get you on a good sleep schedule. Get you getting some natural sunlight
is
in the
my
morning.
Day schedules,
vitamin D.
But the daily schedule is kind of, it's like sometimes I got to wake up at 6, sometimes I got to wake up at 9, sometimes I don't got to work, so I can wake up at whenever I want.
How lonely of a feeling is it when all the early games are done, all the late games are done, and now you're watching the SportsCenter loop for the first time, whatever time that is, 1 a.m. And then you watch it,
right at,
you
at
watch
midnight.
It through, you watch it through, and then you're like, oh God, it's going to start again, and it's 2 a.m., and I'm still not asleep.
That's a nightly occurrence for me, my guy.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm just prepping for the show
that Well, that's right. That's right. Listen, you're a hard worker, Osborne.
You are. You got the numbers. You got the stats. Like, you are a very well-prepared
host. There's nothing worse, though, than laying in bed, literally trying to go to sleep where you're not doing anything, and you can't fall asleep for 2 hours. You're just laying there, eyes closed, nothing going on.
Well, because you're thinking about all the bets you lost that night. That's the issue.
They're haunting Al's brother's dreams as he goes along.
16 parlays looking ahead, Al's brother.
Well, we'll bring in Al's brother's gambling partner, Jeff O'Neill, in just a second, live from Edmonton. And I suppose, Al's brother, for your potential new roommate, if you move out downtown Toronto, sleep chemistry is important. You don't want someone on a completely different schedule. Let's bring him in. Jeff O'Neill from, of course, Overdrive, covering the World Juniors for us here at TSN. Oh, I'm sure the grappler filled you in what's going on with Al's brother and his hunt for a roommate. Any interest on your end?
What the hell are you talking about?
Well,
go ahead.
You know, you've been hounding me now for a year. I got to get back into the city. So I'm finally getting in. AK has been as well. So I'm finally getting back into the city, starting to look at condos. I'm going to check one out tonight. But it's a little pricey, so, you know, I'm hoping to get a roommate for it. And the boys thought it'd be great to try and have some sort of contest or to help find a roommate for me. And they thought, hey, maybe the O-Dog could be the Casa Al-Dog for a little bit. What do you think?
Why don't you just have a charcuterie board contest?
Oh, we could do that.
Well,
whoever makes me the best charcuterie board,
they can move in with
you. That is who I want to be living with.
You're implying that living with you is like a privilege or a blessing. I think it's the opposite.
I think it's the opposite.
Like, I don't know.
Here's the idea that I came up with. Every Friday, you have two people call into the show, okay?
And I got to interrupt you. I find this way more funny than I should, but go ahead.
Okay. So here's what I've been playing with. So every Friday, the first two people that can get through on the phone lines, they get to go head-to-head on trivia. And Al's brother, he gets to pick the questions. It could be Leafs, could be football, could be just Al's brother questions. The winner gets to move in with Al's brother on Monday, stay for the week, and then you do a new trivia on Friday. And, you know, Al's brother, he treats it like you got the fresh towels, you got the chocolate on the pillowcase,
Airbnb.
He gives you the slippers. It's Airbnb Al's brother. What do you think of that?
I kind of like the idea of a contest, but what if somebody discovers that Al's brother like leaves his underpants lying in the living room, and they don't want to live with him? Period. So that basically just wipes out the trivia. It's like somebody's got to be compatible with Al's brother as far as living and all the other nonsense. So it's like. I mean, my wife asked me, she's like, we've got some things downstairs that we could turn the basement into a kind of a condo type area. And I said, no, hang on a sec. There is a but here. I said, I just believe that is the recipe for disaster. Just to have somebody move into your basement, they're always around, and it's just absolutely no way.
Could be Al's brother. You could walk down there at 2 or 3 in the morning and watch him just get a growl on with some chicken wings and pizza with no tarp on.
Oh, my God.
With the cats. He'd have the cats by his side. Oh,
me and Hank. Get some bonding time.
The cats would be sleeping on Al's brother's hairy chest.
That's an image I'm not sure I'll get out of my mind anytime soon. So Jeff O'Neill, our guest, live from Edmonton. And, you took Twitter by storm a couple of days ago. I'm going to read the tweet. Maybe Joe from the Bridge can bring it up as well. Seeing a colleague and friend drop a ball out of a towel saying, I got it, was tough to watch. I'll leave it at that. We move on. And I guess we aren't moving on yet. Can you explain this whole situation and maybe even who you were referring to?
Okay. I honestly, it was a bit of a sore spot, so I am... like legally binded to not mention names with this, but I just want to say I played a course out in Edmonton with one colleague who was very familiar with the course. That's all I'll say about that. So James Duffy, another colleague hit a tee shot, and me and Bob McKenzie were partners, and the match was like, at the end of the day, I'll ultimately take responsibility for it. But James hit his drive, and the one colleague just said, that thing's gone, man. Like, that's gone. because it was a blind landing area and you couldn't see it. And I got up there and I was kind of in the left rough. And all of a sudden I saw him hitting a ball and I was assuming it was a drop because this thing started way right. And the idea of this thing like curling over water and almost going backwards and landing on land, just like, it just, the idea of it was impossible. I mean, I don't know how a ball goes up and to the left and almost backwards to get on land. But he made a putt and I was like, bogey. And he was like, no, it's for par. And I said, oh, how is it for par if one went in the water? And he's like, no, that was actually just my drive. That's where it landed. And I was in my head. It kind of rattled me for the rest of the way through, but I didn't bring it up. And it was for $10. It didn't really mean that much. But maybe the golfing gods got back at him today because it was, he had a bit of a grind today, I will say that.
Yeah, I saw you guys out there golfing for Bobby Margarita's birthday today. Shout out to the Bob Father. Any shenanigans out on the course today, O?
No, it was a beautiful day. We played a golf course called Windermere out here in Edmonton, and it was, and no disrespect to the other courses we played, but this is kind of like an old school traditional golf course. And I absolutely, like, loved it. There were some holes along the river. It was just a beautiful spot and a beautiful day. And Bobby Mack, I think, shot 82 or 83. And Duffy, I'll just say it, he shot 122.
He had a tough one.
Yeah, he had a tough day.
Nice. Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah, we'll see if he posts it on the Golf Canada app. I'll be watching that for Duffy. So. Actually, knowing Duffy, he probably will post it to bring his handicap up.
You're right.
Because Karolnik has a match against him, doesn't he?
I'm almost certain he said to me walking off of 18 that he shot 122.
sounds about right.
Like, he's a pretty good golfer. I mean, he drives it fairly well, fairly long, too. He's not the biggest guy. But he struggles a little bit with, like, wedges around the green and all the stuff that's basically important to scoring. He had a tough time with, but he posted a 122 on Bobby's birthday.
Well, Canada has not had a tough time so far at these World Juniors. And last night, Connor Bedard put on another clinic. That goal he scored to make it 3-0 for Canada. Comparisons to a young Alexander Ovechkin, a young Jeff O'Neill. What was it like for you watching that live?
He shoots the puck like those guys do. It's like, there's not like a couple years that need to go by where it's like, oh, maybe he might shoot it like Austin Matthews or Alexander Ovechkin. I watch those guys every night. It's the same shot. It's just no chance. The goalie's got no chance, and it's going in, and he loves to shoot it from everywhere. He makes... Because you guys know, you see the clips on SportsCenter at night, and it's the WHL, and you're like, what do we really have here? And the guy's a star player. He's, he can score every time he gets on the ice, and that shot, just like the other guys. It's just like Austin Matthews and Alex Ovechkin and Laine. They can shoot from distance, and they can beat goaltenders. And that's really the big separator where it's like, there's standard formations on the power play where it goes up top and then it goes to the wing. And then there's about 10 guys in the league that can shoot it where the goalie's just got no chance. They're so big and they just slide over. And for most guys, it just hits them on the shoulder, hits them in the chest. But there's about 10 guys that rip it under the bar and the goalie's got no say in it and no chance. And then Bedard's going to be one of those guys. He, right now at 17 years old, he probably is one right now the way he shoots the puck.
Yeah, I think the other amazing thing, too, when you watch Connor Bedard is how fast he processes the game. Like, he never looks like he's in a rush out there. He never looks like he's really under pressure. You think it's one of those things where just, like, he thinks the game better than a lot of the guys around him? Because he's not the biggest guy. He doesn't look like he's the strongest guy, but, man, is he the best player out there.
Yeah, Frankie, I mean, that's what it generally comes down to is, you just wonder, I watch all the time, it's like Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid, and then there's this kid, and it's like, how on earth, like he scored a goal the other night where he had a great give and go with Mason McTavish. And I was thinking, how the hell is this guy so wide open? Like, and it's the same thing with all of them. And it's just the way they think and the way they anticipate where it's like, they're smarter than everyone else. Like they know where the puck's going to be. And it's just a gift from God where it's just part of what they do on the ice. And they just do it naturally. It's not like they're out there thinking, okay, how am I going to be ahead of this? It's like all the great players, they're just in the right spots and they're going to get a bunch of opportunities. And he's certainly that. He's just, and as I just mentioned previously, it's like, I'm watching the kid. I'm like, is this guy going to make some plays where I'm going to go, wow? And he does. He makes those plays, like the little give and goes. And he's just a real special talent. And he seems like a super kid, too.
Oh, I know that typically you got your guys, your my guys. Is there somebody who's really jumped off the page to you outside of Connor Bedard who you can sit there and say, wow, he's really surprised me at this tournament so far? That's my guy.
You know what? There's really a bunch of them, but it's the obvious pick. It's Mason McTavish. I think this guy is like, I know there's some good young players in Anaheim that they already have, but it looks like this guy could be their captain in a couple of years. He's really good, man. He just, Zabrango and Zellweger on the back end, they're really good players, but Mason McTavish, he's the real deal. And the other kid from Ottawa, Ridley Gregg, is really good. Everyone's, you know, we were all talking, some different scouts, and Craig and Bobby and James and myself and Cheryl, we were talking, like, where is he ultimately going to play this year? And I understand the best thing might be for him to play 15 or 20 games or 30 games of the minors, but he's so good. He does it all, and he's so smart. I just kept thinking to myself, if this guy goes into camp and continues to do this, I don't know how you leave him off an NHL roster. But I think when you look at Detroit or different teams that like to let their guys bake in the minors for a bit, but I don't know. It might be the best for his development to play for a little bit in the minors, but he's so good. I'm like, I don't know how he's going to be kept out of an NHL lineup. He's just a really good player. So Mason McTavish and Ridley Gregg, they really stood out to me.
Oh, how refreshing is it for you to see a guy like Mason McTavish, who is not only one of the top players at the tournament, but it seems like the guy loves hockey. He wants to be playing at every possible moment. Like, you think about the season he had where he played in the AHL, the NHL, the Olympics, the World Juniors, Memorial Cup. Now he's coming back to play this tournament. Like, and he's going to have to make the team out of camp in Anaheim. Like, he's not one of those guys where he's showing up to his, you know, his house on Newport Beach and he's moving in and he's playing. Like, this guy's going to have to go play training camp, all the exhibition games, probably going to have to play some rookie games too. Like, how refreshing is it for you to see a guy who has all this hockey played, all this hockey that has to be played, and just loves it and just wants to be out there?
I'm shocked that he's here, and I think it's kind of awesome that he is here. I thought for certain, Frankie, it would have been, I got my whole kind of job and life ahead of me come September and come training camp, and I got to get ready for that, and I got to be rested, and I got to be prepared. But apparently he was the guy that wanted, he said, I want to be there, and I want to play for this team. So it's really refreshing, and he's just got this thing. You can just tell he loves hockey. He loves going out there, and I'll tell you what, every time he does go out there, he makes a really good play. He's on the puck. He's not like, I wouldn't call his skating like dynamic skating, but he's just very good. He's fast. He just gets after it, and he makes things happen. He's really good. Every aspect of the game, he's really damn good playing.
Jeff, thank you for doing this for us tonight. I know it's an off day. You guys got plans for the big Bobby Margarita celebration? Nice dinner reservation? What's going on there in Edmonton tonight?
I lie in my bed until I fall asleep and go to sleep at night. I don't see anyone. I don't talk to anyone, and I don't bother anyone. So if he is having a party, I probably will not be a part of it. As much as I feel like the guy is one of my brothers and I love him, I am not going out for anybody's birthday party tonight.
All right. Well, there you go. I guess maybe not a good fit for your roommate.
I don't know. If he says you want to grab a quick bite, I'll do that. But after that, I'm not doing it.
All right.
I'm not doing it.
That's it. To each his own. Thank you, O. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, O.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Cheers. Right.
Jeff O'Neill from Overdrive, TSN hockey analyst. And Jeff joined us on the Maple Toyota hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. And check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's red tag days. Visit MapleToyota.com.
He's got just a bunch of tape to look over.
Yes.
Got the game tomorrow against Switzerland. He's going to be diving into all the film.
Speaking of diving, Have you heard of the water park at the West Edmonton Mall out there?
No, I have not.
That's where, like, if you want to have some fun, you got to go to that water park. I mean, I don't know if you're a big water park guy, but that's one of the best ones around.
Could mix in a water park, sure.
That mall is, like, massive.
Well, it's the biggest,
like,
mall
skating
in the world,
rink,
right?
In there and everything.
It's just the world. North America,
maybe
for
North
sure.
America. Sawgrass Mills in Florida, right next to where the Panthers play, is a massive mall.
Yeah.
I don't know where.
Well, the Mall
West
of America
Edmonton,
in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Been there a couple times. Maybe I don't think they have, like, an amusement park or a skate. Oh, they do.
Oh, dude, they
park.
Have an amusement park at the Edmonton one, and I was there for a tournament, hockey tournament, back when we were 10 years old. It's like teams come from all over North America and play thing. The Brick Tournament. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we were there with the Toronto Bulldogs, and there was people going on this amusement park ride, and I was like, that ride seems a little too intense for me, whatever. And then we found out from an employee there, like, there was a couple people that, like, fell off the ride recently.
Oh,
and
no.
People were still going on this thing. I'm like,
no.
Listen, that's back in 2003. I'm sure it's safe now.
Well, I mean, yes. I think you probably, you know, things change as things progress. And I guess also for the O-Dog talking about, you know, he's just going to hang out in his room. I mean, I guess people mature as they get older, but I recall going on some trips with the O-Dog and other people with TSN, and let's say there was not a lot of hanging out in the room going on. We used to have a ton.
I don't know how keen O-Dog is to be having to work in the middle of August.
Well, it sounds like they're playing as much golf as they would.
Well, that, I'm sure he doesn't mind the off days.
Well, it sounds like the on days, too. They're still teeing it up in the morning. I mean, just get out there, play golf, and then do your thing in the evening, and that's... Sounds like a pretty good time out there in Edmonton.
6:30 tee time. Could you tee off at 6:30?
I have many times.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's the best, man.
That's not the best.
I love it. I love it when you're like, you're waiting to hit because the guys are changing the cup on the green in front of you.
Well, we've seen that before. And for you and I, we play a lot together on the weekends.
We do. We play on the weekends. We got a good crew.
Great crew. We're not giving them a shout out, though.
We're
as
not.
Much as their desire
want the
shout out.
We have a little bit of a group chat going, and it kind of went a little quiet, but before the show, it was buzzing.
Yeah, a lot of chirps headed mostly towards me, not so much to you, Frank, for obvious reasons. That blazer you have is just outstanding.
Oh,
I mean, that's just it. I mean, something truly to marvel at. So
Gucci.
Congratulations
Gucci.
To you. No,
it is not Gucci.
It is definitely. Definitely.
It is a free blazer I received as part of the Dynamo Riga hockey team out in the KHL.
Damn, that's
how
it.
How much
a good
do
deal.
Hockey players love free things,
well,
by the way?
More
if
than
I,
anything.
Well, and if,
more
I, than if I've learned anything from Carlo Koliakovo, that is indeed the case. Yes. Anything free. Anything that's not nailed to the ground, that man is taking into the studio or wherever we go. So that blazer would definitely apply. The filter with Al's brother is coming up on the other side. And looking forward to that because our pre-show meeting, extensive, collaborative, and yielded a bunch of good results, and I think that will be reflected in Al's brother's filter, or the filter with Al's brother, I should say. We also have confirm or deny just after 6 o'clock, and Bob Weeks, TSN golf analyst, the video of Tiger Woods landing on the premises in the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's there. There's a big meeting between top guys on the PGA Tour and Tiger. I mean, no longer one of them, but at least as far as, you know, earning as much money as anyone in PGA Tour history, Tiger at the top of that list. So we'll get to that with Bob Weeks in about an hour.
Is he still eligible? Because remember, was it 2 years ago maybe? They put in like that bonus. It was like a $40 million bonus.
Player Impact Program.
Is he eligible for that even though he's
barely
playing?
He won it last year.
No, but like he's not even playing this year.
Oh,
he's
well,
played like
he
two
did
tournaments.
Play. He played two majors.
Yeah. Right.
If he saves
but
the tour, Tiger saves the tour, he'll win it.
I wonder what these discussions are going to lead to. I'm sure Bob Weeks is plugged in. And I mean, it's an interesting situation with PGA Tour at a crossroads in many respects.
Crazy course, to think that Phil at one point was in contention for that. That
he finished second. And Phil. Phil is just an abomination of a golfer right now. That dude would be lucky to break 80 at any local course here in Toronto.
Could he break 80 at Caledon Woods?
At Caledon Woods, I don't know. I feel like he would do just fine at Caledon Woods. Maybe some of those longer golf courses he might struggle at. But yeah, Phil's been brutal. And you wonder if the LIV Tour is like, ugh. We really gave that guy 200 million.
Yeah.
Stinks. Tough. He can't even make
or
a
Or they
cut.
See him as a trailblazer.
Or, they, yeah. You know, then there is no cut on the LIV
Head
tour,
recruiter,
but,
got
yeah.
everyone there.
Maybe.
Kind was. Of, yeah,
took a lot of the
was.
Shots over the line. Yeah.
So the filter with Al's brother coming up on the other side. Overdrive continues. Karolnik, Corrado, brother, next.
No filter?
You have no filter.
That's
not obvious.
That's true. That's
you
a good thing.
You say whatever comes into your mind.
Yeah.
You don't really modulate your feelings at all.
Yeah. It's a good thing for me, but it's a bad thing for water.
Welcome into the filter with Al's brother and myself. Got Aaron Karolnik and Frank Corrado. We're here hosting Overdrive today. And the filter, it's something that we've done on the show many, many times. And the way that it works, fellas and listeners who aren't aware. So I got a bunch of statements that I'm going to make. Some kind of things that have been percolating in my mind. I want to tweet them out, but I got to put them through the filter first, which is you two. Yep. And you got to let me know, do I send the tweet? Do I put in the draft, kind of wait on it? Or is it such a bad take, such a bad tweet, that I got to delete my account?
Ooh, all right.
So those are the three options.
Important responsibilities for you and I, Frank.
Yeah. We don't want him tweeting anything too controversial.
Definitely
we don't
not.
Want him any bad takes out there, so we're going to help him out.
I have a feeling a few bad takes could be coming. Al's brother, take it away. What do we got for you?
They very well could be coming. We'll start with one about Yusei Kikuchi. This guy, man, he's been a tire fire lately. But my thing that I want to put through the filter, with chicken strips returning to the rotation, Yusei Kikuchi has made his final start as a Blue of the season.
Not in total, because of course Yusei Kikuchi has two more years left at I guess it was $10 million per kid. So I guess he's getting more money up front. Must be nice for Yusei Kikuchi.
A lot of leverage for a guy who's an experiment.
So that means he got $16 million this year, he's getting $10 million the next 2 years.
That's why he's wearing jersey number 16 to remind everyone how many million he got this year.
I'm gonna send the tweet. I just don't see a way in which Yusei Kikuchi starts another game for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. As you mentioned, Stripling coming back this week. Mitch White's okay. But, I mean, we've seen enough. They are 6-14 are the Toronto Blue Jays in Yusei Kikuchi starts. What more do you need to see to eliminate this man from starting ball games? He leaves you in a deficit almost every time he starts a game for you, giving up runs in the first inning. It's enough. Send the tweet out, brother, and tell John Schneider to follow suit.
Yeah, see, the thing with this tweet, it's not controversial at all. Anyone could tweet this out and be on the money. I wonder if Kikuchi, if it's a day-by-day thing, and not, it has nothing to do with Kikuchi. They know what he is. They know how he's going to pitch. But is it a day-by-day thing as far as the team, if they're going to get wins? Like, if they win out until Kikuchi's next scheduled start, does he get that start? Just to say that, okay, we got a little bit of a cushion. Now you can pitch again. You'll get lit up, and then we'll try and get some more wins. But at least we gave you another shot. But if they lose tonight and they lose again, and then you rack up a couple more losses, and then it's Kikuchi's start, you're not starting him.
Are you going to give him a start in the Bronx, like against the Yankees?
Built up some cushion, then you could soften it by saying, okay, you'll pitch. We got a little bit of a cushion. But if it's ugly, I don't see him making another start this season. I see him going to the bullpen.
Yeah, like I agree with you. The only pushback that I think you could say is, A, if he's not making another start, like what happens with injuries? Injuries occur. Who else are you going to put out there to start ball games if not Kikuchi?
Maybe Max Castillo. You find some guys in Triple A. Oh, that's right. So, yeah, you got to find some dudes in Triple A. Who cares? That's my answer. It doesn't matter. How could you do worse than Yusei Kikuchi?
Yeah, that's fair.
I cannot fathom a way in which
he's got an ERA of above 7 in his last
11
starts.
The dude is a walking loss.
It's no good. You could send that tweet, though. I think you can send it.
Yeah, you can send it.
I agree.
What else you got?
All right, so we're keeping with the Blue Jays, keeping with the terrible pitching. This one, we're talking about Jose Berríos, and Jays management must be sweating looking at that Jose Berríos contract, considering you're only in year one. Yikes. But I think the more thing is, I don't think he makes it to the end of that contract as a Blue Jay.
Oh, wow. An amendment to the filter. I love it. Well, okay, yikes, obviously. I mean, Berríos, as bad as he's been and as inconsistent he has been, the Jays are still 16-7 in his starts this year. Which
That's why wins and losses
it's good fortune, because Berríos has been just as bad as Kikuchi.
He's been even worse on the road.
On the road, he's terrible. Yes. At home, he's adequate, and you know, notwithstanding.
At times.
Isn't that the lowest ERA in the American League?
The lowest ERA in the American League at home, you mean, Berríos?
No, just in general.
Like the worst.
The highest
ERA.
Definitely not the lowest.
Worst
This is a cold. This is a cold take, hot take thing with you and Carlo.
Yes, that's right. We did have a situation like that. As far as the Jays management saying yikes, like, yeah, obviously, 7 years, $131 million, inconsistent, would be putting it mildly. That being said, I mean, it's not in the Yusei Kikuchi realm of terrible contracts yet, but the financial commitment is to the degree for Berríos that you're just like, man, if this guy doesn't get it together. Forget this year, next year, the subsequent 5 years. Yep. That's a major, major issue. That's a, I would say, a fireable offense. That contract is bad enough if he actually has lost it. And I'm not saying he has, but he has not been nearly as good this year as he was for the Jays or the Twins previously. Yeah, I think you can send that one to
us. Send that tweet. Yeah, I think you can send it as well. I think he gets way more rope than Kikuchi because he's earned it and the team has won because of him. I also think he's the biggest X factor on this team. Like, we talk about it all the time, how Manoah and Gausman have to carry so much of the load. Well, listen, if this guy could come around more consistently to the pitching that we're accustomed to from him, that's just going to ease so much for those two guys. So, yes, they should be worried. You can use the word yikes. You can, you know, I can't even remember the wording on it, but you can definitely send that tweet. But knowing that they're going to give him more time than they would other pitchers to work it out because there is a commitment involved. And you know what he can be. Kikuchi has never showed that he can be a legitimate top three, top four starter in the MLB. Barrios is.
Yeah, there's a track record with Barrios where you can have that patience with Kikuchi.
Yeah.
No.
So you're sending both tweets so far.
All right.
Anything controversial? What do we got?
Well, this one might be a little controversial. Well, head to the ice. And what we've seen Connor Bedard do this past week and a half has been exceptional. And here's what I'm thinking, boys. Connor Bedard is so good. He might be the first rookie since Crosby and Ovechkin to score 100 points in his rookie season.
Here we go.
Oh, that's a tough one. And I think you have to look at it in the way that you have to figure out who he's going to be playing with, right? I mean, I will say, if Connor Bedard's playing with Patrick Kane, I don't know if it's completely outlandish, but I know there were a lot of guys who scored 100 points this year in the NHL. I think the number was like 10 or 11.
Scoring was up.
I don't know how consistent that will be year to year. I don't think you send that tweet. That could be something you stick in your drafts. Deleting your account might be a tad extreme, but definitely do not send that one out, brother.
Yeah, I mean, Connor McDavid's first year, he did get hurt, but he had 48 points in 45 games. You try and do that through an 82-game
season. Like 92, 93 points.
It's close. Like, I think if you wanted to
have Connor McDavid, like, when I'm watching this kid play right now as a 16, 17-year-old, McDavid didn't look this good in these international games.
Well, the thing with McDavid is a lot of solo individual efforts, which really separates him from a lot of players. But Bedard, like, yeah, he's solo individual efforts, but he works off of guys really well. You know, like, you saw the give-and-go goal with Mason McTavish. Like,
He plays those first, second assists that way.
He plays off the puck really well. He doesn't just rely on speed, which McDavid relies on speed among many other things that he's very, very good at. Al's brother, I'm going to say you can send this just based on the fact that, yeah, it's a little bit of a hot take for sure, but you can go back on that maybe in a year's time and be like, yeah, I'm Al's brother and I called it. And I was bold enough to say it that this guy's going to get 100 points in his rookie season. For the record, I don't think he will get 100 points, but when you look at Connor McDavid having 48 and 45 on a bad Edmonton team, Bedard is likely going to go to a really bad team as well. There's a chance he's sniffing around that 90 to 100 range, so I don't think it's that outlandish.
Know how many points he scored this year in the dub in his quote-unquote rookie season?
Please share.
100.
Oh,
okay.
You know, very easy 100. to extrapolate to the NHL.
So clearly,
so what do you think this year? 100, 120, 125 in the WHL this year?
I think he lights it up this year. Yeah, we're definitely 120.
I hope we're sitting here
180. That's the tick. 180. Send it 200.
Well, no, don't send that. I hope we're sitting here. Well, or someone's sitting here. You're sitting here in 2 years and saying, "Yeah, I was right 2 years ago. Bedard got 100 points his rookie season."
Save the audio, Grappler. Save the audio. We're gonna need that in 2 years.
Keep the receipts, else, brother.
What else we got, AB?
All right, we got one more here, gentlemen, and this is one that I'm very passionate about. We all know how much I love fantasy football and football in general, right? Well, this is what I believe. Punters need to be incorporated into fantasy football. #punters are people too, my friends.
Wow. Does Elon Musk still have some kind of stake in Twitter? Is that not a thing anymore? Because we might have to reach out to him to ensure that Al's brother deletes his account based on this abysmal take. You want hunters? You want to create categories for punters?
Are you listening to Pat McAfee or something?
I do love myself some Pat hunters. McAfee. Being a Colts fan, I grew up watching Pat McAfee. Yeah. And imagine if I was able to draft Pat McAfee in fantasy. Matt Araiza, the punt god, he's going to absolutely take the punting position, and he's going to just make it into a rock star position.
So what do you want? What do you want as far as categories? Go ahead.
So I'm glad you asked, because I figured out, not only do I have what I want, I also have the solution in the scoring categories here, okay? If you can punt it to within the five-yard line, right? Punt it within the five-yard line, that's worth 5 points. Within the 10, worth 4 points. Within the 15, 3. Within the 20, that's 2. Touchback, 1 point. What do you think about that?
I mean, I love you, buddy, and I appreciate that you want to support punters, but that's an abysmal take. That's a delete your account. We don't need more scoring players in fantasy football. I don't even think kickers should have a place in fantasy football. I'm also very anti-team defense. So to add a hunter in addition to a kicker and a defense, way too much variance for me. Delete that account, my man.
Yeah, I'm not as hot and bothered by this as AK. He's played a lot of years of fantasy football. It's something a little more new to me. but I'm just going to say put it in your drafts for now. Maybe people will warm up to the idea. I think you got to just...
telling you, Matt Araiza is going to revolutionize the position. Okay?
I think you got to work it in.
Kick the ball further?
A year from now. Did you see that 82-yard
bomb? I saw it. But did you see the other kicks he made? Very normal. For whatever reason, he booted that one.
The only people who appreciate punts are punters or former punters. But I think you just massage it in. Keep massaging it in. At some point, maybe you release that tweet. But for now, keep it in the drafts, buddy.
All right.
And that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I know that Grappler wanted to chime in with a filter question of his own. Go ahead, Keith.
Before I get to that, I would just like to point out that we are interested in facts on this show. So I wanted to corroborate what O said about Duffy shooting a 122.
Okay.
And he would like to hop on at 6 p.m. to discuss. Exciting. So, late edition of James Duffy to kick off.
Wow. This guy doesn't get enough airtime on the World Juniors. Needs to jump on this show, too. All right. So, looking forward to chatting with JD.
By the way, we do have the scorecard that James Duffy posted on the Golf Canada app. Keith, maybe I'll send that over to you and Joe from the Bridge if we want to put that up.
I think we could use
Duffy
that.
Duffy is a very rare individual who goes hole by hole when he posts his scores.
I do as well.
That's a new thing for you.
Yes. How do you know that's a new thing for
because
me?
I have been tracking you very closely for many, many months, Frank. But yes, I don't see why anyone would do that personally. But, you know, Duffy has a lot of time on his hands. You know, not enough podcasts and television appearances. Graps, go ahead.
Okay. Without an elite wide receiver, Aaron Rodgers has no shot at winning a third consecutive NFL MVP award.
I love this one. You know what? I'm going to say that Keith should send this tweet. And when you talk about Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Romeo Dubs. Come on. There's no way Aaron Rodgers is going to rack up the statistics commensurate with an NFL MVP season. Losing Davante Adams is going to be catastrophic for his MVP candidacy. Not necessarily huge for the Packers winning and losing games. But I think as far as winning MVP, you got to put up some serious numbers. Send that tweet, Graps.
I agree with you, AK. I think you can send that tweet. And you know why? That's because Josh Allen is going to be the MVP.
Ooh. Bang!
Oh, God. We almost made it two hours without hearing that. Almost.
The bang. That's something that haunts my dreams. I wake up like, the bang, not that.
It slaps
sound.
You in the face,
It really does. It really does.
And that should be your ringtone to get you up at 5:30 in the morning before you...
I saw on the TSN Edge Twitter account, they posted a video with Carlo with his new Bills alter ego, which, I love
the sunglasses.
I love the stuff TSN Edge puts out, but Carlo and the Bills, not a lot of unbiased opinions there. Bang! As far as what the Grappler put out there, Al's brother, how do you recommend he handle that on Twitter?
Yeah, I think that's an appropriate take to make. I think you could send that for sure. It's going to be tough. I mean, like you said, AK, the team's not going to lose games. Like, they're still going to win. It's still a putrid division. Like, the Bears are god-awful. The Lions haven't been able to win a game in years.
Yeah.
The Vikings might be okay, but still, they're going to be the cream of the crop. So they'll still win games, and they got a pretty good defense. And I think that they're really going to try and run the ball a lot more this year, too. You've got both A.J. Dillon. You signed Aaron Jones to a big contract last year. I think they're going to run the ball a little bit more than they had in the past. So I just don't see him putting up the type of numbers that is commensurate with a third consecutive MVP.
You almost said, I just don't see it happening, didn't almost. You?
How I bad did myself. You want to say it? Stop
it's a classic Al's brother-ism that we utilize.
What is he
a lot
currently? I'm checking right now what he currently is.
Well, Rodgers has to be MVP. Amongst the top 3-5 candidates. You'd have Josh Allen, of course, Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. He's fifth at 10-1.
Okay, that's on FanDuel.
So you got, yeah, on FanDuel. So you got Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady at 3.
Mm, Herbert.
Course, and then Herbert, Aaron Rodgers.
Trendy selection.
Yeah, it's a very trendy pick.
Justin Herbert.
Actually, this morning on the morning show, we made a wager watch with Carlo and
oh,
I.
Oh, exciting.
For who's going to win the AFC West. I'm on the Chargers. This guy took the Raiders. Oh, he's high on the Raiders.
That's a classic. I thought he was going to say the Chiefs. Like
so
any
did
normal,
I.
Any
so
normal
did I.
Person
but he's like,
say,
I'm on the Raiders. I'm like, all right.
Has
wager.
Carlos seen who plays on the defensive side of the ball for the Raiders? Not exactly.
Who like Max Crosby?
Yeah, that's one individual. There's a lot of players on defense. I'm not a big fan of the Raiders. Offensively, no doubt. Defensively, not the best, to quote Louis Domingue. Yeah. James Duthie, a surprise addition to the program. He's coming up in about 20 minutes. Looking forward to that. And I've been teasing you guys all afternoon about the night
this.
That was. Josh Leuenberg,
yes.
A married man, our Raptors reporter. And I've got the behind-the-scenes details, and I'll share them next on Overdrive. The second hour of Overdrive rolls on here on TSN 4, TSN 1050, and in the iHeartRadio Canada app. There's Al's brother. There's Frankie Corrado. I am Aaron Korolnik. And over the weekend, fellas, we were celebrating the wedding of Josh Leuenberg, our Raptors reporter. Big mazel tov to him and his bride, Allie. Fantastic event down at Rebel.
The nightclub?
Rebel nightclub.
They do weddings? You guys were turning it
apparently
up over there.
Apparently they do. The last time I was at Rebel prior to the wedding was for a Loud Luxury show.
Nice.
Yes.
Western grads.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And let's just say it was a very
two.
Different vibe at Loud Luxury
imagine.
Than the Leuenberg Rendley wedding. But, and I know Joe from the Bridge has the video, J-Lew is a smaller guy. And you know in the Jewish tradition, they lift the up in the bride and groom on the chairs.
Yeah.
There was a bed sheet that had J-Lew just hurled up in the air. You could see it up on TSS. Look at this. That's what
goes
on.
It's like a trampoline.
It is like a trampoline.
It's like
J-Lew
that, it's like that parachute game when you're a kid. You get the beach ball in the middle and you're just like
exactly.
That.
That's exactly what it,
what it
was.
He looks
it was,
like he weighs 110 pounds
yeah.
there.
Well, I mean, not that far off. I don't
really?
Know. I don't know.
I've never
maybe.
Met him. I've never seen
oh,
him.
That's J-Lew's. Kind of a tough look.
Well, I mean.
That's kind of a tough look.
So, Al's brother, you get married. Maybe, you know, this whole roommate search.
I don't think I'm flying that high.
Is Al's brother jumping on? Is he jumping
gravity.
On the sheet?
Al's brother finds himself no, a nice Jewish girl. He could be doing that at his wedding.
We got to hit some local synagogues, Al's brother.
Thing called
we can cook up.
Gravity. It'll yes. keep me a little lower than Leuenberg.
But speaking of finding girls, I'm seated next to. I mean, I'm a single dude seated next to somebody, and we're talking. I'm making acquaintances with people at the table, and she's like, "Oh, you should meet my friend. I think you guys would really get along." So she gives me the phone number. Yeah, she's like, "I'll fire off a text." Tomorrow at some point, I mean, tomorrow would have been yesterday. So I'm like, all right. So, you know, I do my thing. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll shoot the text. Send the text. I see the text was read. No response.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
It's a tough one.
The R-bomb, as they say.
Ooh,
the kids
and just
say.
Like, so you see it's read. You're like, okay, is there a response coming? And I can say with certainty, we're like 30 hours since.
Yeah, it's not a woman.
You don't know who this was, though.
No, I don't know who this person is.
That's
at all.
Not that
you didn't
bad.
Exchange names? Or you,
I know the name.
You know the name.
I'm not going to do the
no,
whole
don't
public
reveal,
outing.
Don't reveal. No.
Being left on red is a tough.
It's tough.
Not
feel.
Good.
It
is that why
worse,
you were at the
though.
Gym this morning?
That's why.
Out?
Yeah, two hour workout to relieve the stress of being left on red, Frank. Yeah. You nailed it.
Now, let me ask you this. So in your iMessage conversations, has that been deleted? Like, is it out of your sight?
Not
or every
yet.
Time you open that app, you're
yet.
Reminded of it.
I'm still hopeful. Maybe something's transpired.
Buddy.
Family emergency or something that it requires.
Maybe her phone's been in rice for 24 hours.
Maybe she dropped her phone in a lake.
Maybe it's possible. One of those ones where she typed out the response, but
forgot
to hit send or
nobody
thought she
does
hit
that.
Send.
That's not a real
no,
thing.
It's
not,
I've thing. Done it. I've done it yeah. by accident.
And then yeah. you open up your phone and go text a person. You realize, oh, I forgot to respond to that person
yes.
last
yeah.
week.
Well,
whoops.
We're going to have to find out. But if you're out there, no, respond to the message.
Because, if you know. The chances are, if she didn't reply to your message, she's probably not listening to this.
You make a good point.
Good chance.
Or she could be
good
watching
chance.
On TSN 4. You know, we're out there in the, you know, on the TSN
network. If that's
TSN
the case,
network.
you should have got a text at 401.
You're right. You're right.
If that's the case.
Well, and, I mean, there is a chance she was watching at, you know, 4 o'clock and 5 seconds. Then the second she heard your voice, it was just a,
that's well, you know what, Grappler? Like we all could have gotten the makeup room today too.
Yeah,
like,
no kidding.
We did have that option.
There's a couple guys here that are leaking. I'm not going to name names, but it's essentially the other two guys in the studio.
How are you settled?
Not sweating at all.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how sweaty are you?
I've settled in. No, I've settled in. Like you can see, it's not that glistening. The first 5 minutes in here, though,
it was bad.
Oh boy, Michael Phelps just got out of the pool. Nice.
I was really wondering how we were going to get through the whole 3 hours with Al's brother. Wow. Like I thought he was going full South American soccer coach at one point.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Let's just hope Joe from the Bridge isn't doing a close up on the underarms of Al's brother, because I feel even through the suit. Don't do it.
No.
don't lift
down.
It up.
All the
arms
time.
Down tight to the hips. That's my advice for you, and basically for all of us, except for Frankie, who is cool as a cucumber. Professional athlete,
that's what it
Frankie
is.
Carrotto.
Pro athlete.
Professional broadcaster.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you guys. I've been in here a little bit now. I'm actually cold in this studio all the time. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, James Duthie has been in the studio many times, and that's not really an adequate segue.
And apparently
here,
he was
talking to him.
But apparently he was pretty cold on the golf course.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
We will get it from his mouth how that round went, because O said he shot 122, and it's not the case.
That seems like a stretch to me, but we'll go to the source. James Duthie from TSN will join.